Good evening, everyone. This is Sergeant Martinez, your host for Veterans Talk. Today, we have a special guest, good friend of mine, Darren. He is a realtor, Marine veteran, as well as a grunt style model. I'm going to pass the mic over to him, and he's going to give a little bit of detail about himself.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is my boy, Chris. As you all know, I was asked to be on this show just to give a little bit of knowledge to everybody who's looking for either benefits in Texas when it comes to a house or whatever questions you may have about real estate, apartments, you know, renting a home or a condo or a townhouse. It's all within my wheelhouse. I kind of understand basically everything that goes into it. First of all, when I was younger, I came from a military family. So my grandpa was in the Navy for 20 something odd years, and he was a frogman. You know, dude was the baddest of the bad. And from when I was 12, you know, he was like, let's start training. Okay, grandpa, let's do it. Put me in the water, started swimming my butt off every day. Hey, quick question, Chris. I know it's a veterans podcast, but how does the current, like, I guess, populace feel about me cussing? They probably don't give a shit.
Yeah, you're fine, dude. It's everything's registered explicit, man. We keeping it real here, brother.
Okay, good shit.
It's for veterans, right, man.
I got it. All right. We can cuss like a sailor then. I got this shit. So on top of that, my dad was also in the Navy too. He did his 4 years, got out and went and did something kind of paramilitary, like a police force. And he did that for about 22 years. So military is in my blood. Even my grandpa, my other grandpa on my mom's side. It's been there. I joined the military probably because 9/11, to be honest with you. I think that was a huge factor in me deciding to go, because when I was 11 or 12, that's when 9/11 happened. And my grandpa was like, oh shit, because we lived in Quantico. And he was like, well, we need to get the hell out of here because the next place they could attack is here. And so we packed up our stuff and we left for a little while. But that was probably a huge deciding factor, was 9/11. And, you know, just to go overseas, and I ain't trying to say some bad things right now, but, you know, slay bodies if it ever came down to it. I mean, I'm a count my blessings and say, thank God I didn't have to go to Iraq or Afghanistan. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. It was a blessing, because I probably would end up dead or fucked up in the head. You know, I mean, it happens, and I want to count my blessings, like I said. Let's see. So that was probably the main reason right there. I mean, past that, I don't really have any other reason besides wanting to serve my country, doing something bigger than myself. When I was in high school, I joined the DEP program in 11th grade because I failed a grade because I was a dummy. You know, I was already 18, so I had that option to do it. But, I mean, yeah, that was really it, dude. I just wanted to go and serve my country, do something bigger than me. The infantry was just the way to go. They were like, hey, you can go be the SWAT team of the Marine Corps. I don't know how many of y'all dumb fuckers fell for that, but I was one of them, man. I was the fake-ass SEAL team. You know, I went for fast, real quick.
Man, I can say about my recruiter, man, this dude, man, he was straight up with me, because he didn't sell me no bullshit.
I had like three. It was weird situation. I had like three recruiters. I had Beckford, Lemon, and Killian. And it was so weird because they were all in the same substation, but they're all like in the middle of processing out and going in or whatever, going back to the fleet. Well, Beckford was my first one. He was a Pogue. Cool ass dude, man. I love that guy. I mean, he used to tell us stories about I think he was from Africa or Nigeria, but he used to tell us stories about taking out a machete and chasing people down. And I'm like, bro, crazy. I wonder if you're in the Marine Corps. And then I had this guy named Killian for a little bit until he PCS'd. He went back to 2-7 on 29 Palms. And eventually I met up with him when I went to 3-7 right next door to him, which was fucking awesome because I got to see my recruiter, and I didn't have no skin off my back about this dude. I still hang out with him here in Texas. He's up in New Braunfels. I go out there probably once a month, twice a month. And I hang out in his garage and we just do our dude shit. And we talk about everything under the moon and stars, and we drink beers and we just chill and, you know, that kind of thing. But he's a good ass dude, though. I'll tell you that much. What else was I supposed to talk about, Chris? Give me a heads up.
Well, right now you're in the realtor business, but let's talk about your counsel. I mean, not your counseling. Why did I say counseling? I don't know why that came to mind. Your modeling career. What happened? You know, dude, I have to bring this up because I always throw this at you. And I know for some reason that wet t-shirt contest that you did got landed you the gig at Grunt Style. So how did that happen?
Hey, man. So I was at some country western bar here in San Antonio, and a friend of mine was like, hey, we're doing a shirtless contest tonight. It wasn't wet t-shirt. It was a shirtless contest.
Oh, there you go. Look at that.
And so it's this big thing at this country. It's called Wild West. And that's the bar it was called. It's off 281. I think they shut down after COVID happened because COVID killed a lot of businesses, right? Well, I went out to this bar one night, and it was this girl that really good friends with. There was no intimate relationship with her. Just really good friends. And she was like, hey, come out, see the bar. We're doing a wet t-shirt contest or no t-shirt contest. So if you win, we'll give you $400 cash. I was like, bet. I'm with it. So I went out there, right? And all night. And I'm talking like it's a ladies' night. The only dudes who are there are the dudes who take off their shirts. And if they weren't taking off their shirt, then they were probably there to see me. I mean, whatever. You are what you are. And I don't have nothing to say about it past that. But I got up on stage, man. And I took my clothes off. My shirt. But I tell you, man, these ladies, they just started screaming. They all just started screaming. So it was all over like YouTube and Facebook and like Instagram pages and shit. And, I guess after that, speaking of that, the girl who told me to go there just walked by the office because I worked with her at the brokers that I currently work for right now. So, Mikey Fahey, he was the basically like the leader of SATMAR. And SATMAR is an acronym for San Antonio, Texas Marines. It's a great outreach group. I mean, there's over 1,000 of us. And inside the group, it's like a if you need something, if your car breaks down or something, somebody's going to help push. I've gone to a couple of dudes' houses and helped push cars because their cars broke down on the highway or something. If somebody says, hey, I'm not in my headspace is wrong. Somebody reaches out of all 1,000 dudes, somebody reaches out, they go there and they help them. We got a dude in Satmar named Jacob Tabora. He's from the Bronx. He's from your neck of the hood, bro. He's from New York. This dude, he had an arty round explode in his tank. And dude is over like 70% of his body is all burned. He's the coolest motherfucker I've ever met in my life. He's super down to earth. We used to go to the gym every morning at 7 a.m. and fucking kick it. And then I ended up getting COVID and canceling my membership and not going. But Montel Williams actually went and did a documentary with Jacob, and they remodeled his house. They made it more efficient for him, and they built him like a whole back patio, like
oh shit, that's nice,
a
man.
Fire pit of all things, like, you know, yeah. Dude caught on fire. But anyways, they went and redid his house, man. He's a really good dude. But the group that I'm a part of is really great. Like, they do not just things for us personally as guys in the group, but they do memorial services for veterans. Like, they a couple months back, they just got the bones from one of our Marines from Iwo Jima. And they brought this dude back, and they set up a whole burial service. They buried him, I think, at Fort Sam. I'm not 100% sure. But we do things like that, man. And then there's also, they do, like, Silky's Hikes. And okay. That's something, like, Grunt Style throws off. And they do that, like, I think once a month or so. They just had one in Bernie this past week. I wasn't able to make it to it because I was working. But they do all kinds of stuff like that. They throw events, like tailgate parties and whatnot. I went to my daughter with one. I was doing some repping for their brand. So, like, we had, like, these Yeti cups. They weren't Yeti cups. They're Grunt Style cups. Bottle opener on the bottom, like, mat wraps on them and stuff, T-shirts, hats. They cooked, like, 1,000 hot dogs, like, 1,000 hamburgers, and gave them all out for free. Of course, I got my fill of wieners.
And it's a nonprofit organization, correct?
So it's not even an organization, really.
No, it's
just
not.
It's just a group of dudes who go out and do shit for people
really
who need help, and veterans especially. But Grunt Style is the one who throws off a lot of this stuff. But okay. That's where Grunt Style and SATMAR tie in, is that Mikey Fahey, the leader of SATMAR, he mentioned me while he was working for Grunt Style. He was like, hey, I know this handsome motherfucker. So he messaged me and tagged me in this group and added me to it. And then from there, it was just like, dude, I was in. And then This past week, I met the CEO of Grunt Style after they brought a donkey to his office for April Fool's. He got to the office. People were like, hey, man, you got a meeting upstairs. Like, two bigwigs are up there waiting for you right now. He gets there, and there's two donkeys eating hay on his desk and shit. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, why is there two donkeys in my office?
Oh, man.
It was great.
That's funny.
But, so what else did you want me to talk about, Chris?
What made you want to become a realtor? Like, what was your passion behind it? You know what I'm saying? Was it, because I know, you got the modeling, you're always in the gym. You know, what made you feel passionate to become a realtor? Like, what was your purpose behind it?
So for a long, so I met this woman right at the start of COVID, basically back in 2020. Her name is Cynthia. That's my girlfriend right now. And from the day I met her, she's always told me, you have an outgoing personality. You're very amiable. People love to talk to you. You can hold a conversation. You know, like, you're handsome. You're like a big white dude who with muscles. Like, people just like talking to you. I mean, it's just one of those things that a lot of people have told me, and she's especially told me. And somebody had brought up to me, like, dude, why don't you be a car salesman? And I was like, no. I was like, I know how those guys work. Like, they're sleazeballs. Like, don't get me wrong. If you're a car salesman, I'm sorry if I'm talking shit about you, but you know what? You know what you are, and you better fucking admit it. I've got a Marine buddy. His name's Marcos here in San Antonio. And he was a Marine, and he's a car salesman. He's like, dude, he was like, this ain't the way to go. Like, you're always taking money from people. I was like, all right, hey, whatever. You do what you do. I'm going to do what I do. But as far as houses go, I feel like it's more fulfilling, man. My grandma and my grandpa were in real estate for 30 plus years of their life, and they did extremely well. I mean, and especially in today's market, like, rentals for apartments, condos, houses, they're paying out the wazoo for just renting, not even buying a house. Yeah, but people buy houses. It's probably 10 apartments worth. But I mean, at the same time, you don't get a buyer every single day for a house, but people every day are looking to rent an apartment. I mean, especially during the summertime, like, there's way more volume in apartments than there is in the housing market, because the housing market is phenomenal right now. But at the same time, like, it's phenomenal if you're a seller, because people are trying to buy. All the people from California coming over here, and they've got, you know, $500,000 buys them a one bedroom, one bathroom house over there. We'll get them a four bedroom, four bathroom house here. You know, it's complete world of difference. There's nothing the same about California and Texas. But what drew me to real estate is probably the ability to make my own schedule, be my own boss, and make a shit ton of money without the stress of having to worry about someone always on my back harping me. Like, that's, don't get me wrong, I love the military. It was great. Best years of my life. But at the same time, dude, I hate having somebody sitting right here behind my fucking head yelling at me, dude. I just couldn't do it. So I love real estate, because it's way more freedom. And I get to do what I love. I get to talk to people. I get to see people. I get to explain to people how things work about the real estate market. And I get to sound like I know what the fuck I'm talking about. So it's kind of cool. People listen to me.
So, like, what are the benefits when it comes to, like, veterans when in Texas? Like, what Texas offers for veterans that are transitioning to Texas, as well as veterans that were born and raised there and actually return back?
So if you're a veteran and you were born here, you get the Hazelwood Act. And the Hazelwood Act is awesome. And the reason why I say that is because if you have any inkling that you're going to go to college after the military, which everybody fucking should. I mean, I know that it's just a degree and it looks good on paper, but trust me, it does get you somewhere. Get your degree for free and use it. The Hazelwood Act is basically another 4 years of college for free. It's like 180 something hours of free college credit hours that you get if you were born in Texas and you enlisted in Texas. Outside that, you have the GI Bill, which everybody gets if they do their 180 days active duty service at least, which I think that's, is that right, Chris?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, you're right.
The GI Bill. I mean, I'm not an education specialist, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it's 180 days of active duty service if you get the GI Bill. Things may have changed now, but yeah. So for Hazelwood Act, there's that. Also, if you're a veteran in Texas and you're 100% disabled, you pay no property taxes. So say you're, like, I had a buddy named Jeffrey Dye. He's part of SatMar. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say anybody else's name. But Jeffrey Dye was paying like $1,500 for his mortgage or $1,400 for his mortgage. He went in and got all his VA paperwork after he got sent up to 100%. And it dropped his $1,400 payment down to $900 a month after applying his 100% disability through the VA. Like, it's literally a world of difference. Like, it's, you have so much less money to worry about. A lot of times builders, they have like a preferred employer program. It's only like a $500 discount. But if you're going to come to Texas and use your VA loan, I highly recommend going for a new build, only because in today's market, you have to have cash on hand almost always in order to win a bid, because every situation is going to be a multiple offer situation. There's never a time where you're going to be the only buyer looking at a house. It just doesn't work that way. We're so behind on inventory of houses for people moving here from California, from the East Coast, wherever, that houses are behind. Like you want to get a house right now, it's going to take you 12 to 14 months to build it from today. So if you want to get an inventory house, I would say use your VA loan on an inventory house for a builder. And half the time they help cover expenses. And that's if you don't want to use your VA loan. So if you want to use their preferred lender, they'll help you cover closing costs sometimes, not always. Every builder is different. And so like we got a lady into a house about a month and a half ago, $500 down. They paid all the closing, the builder paid all the closing costs, which is great. So $500 can get you in a new house. For veterans though, use the VA bill, the veteran home loan. Reason why is because VA loans now, I don't know if you guys have looked into the trending market, but in the past, VA loans weren't appraising for as much as like an FHA or conventional loan. They just weren't. But nowadays they're appraising at about the same, if not more, which is really good for veterans because they know that, look, like veterans getting out of the military don't have a whole lot of money saved up on hand because we don't get paid shit. I mean, we get paid like $7 an hour, you know, if you break it down per hour, because we work endless hours throughout the week and that $30,000 a year that we get paid is really not that much. Let's see here. What else could I bring into this situation?
When you mentioned the building as well as the VA, how does that process work? So let's say a veteran wants to move, I don't know, from California. He gets out. He's getting out in California. He doesn't want to go back home, but he wants to use his VA home loan. There we go. His VA home loan to build in Texas. How does that work? Like, what's the process?
Like, so I got a guy.
Go ahead.
Tell him. I was going to say, I got a guy right now, Michael. He's over in California right now. He doesn't have to move right now. He just re-enlisted. He's got 4 more years to do over there in the Army. God rest his soul. but he wants to send his wife and his kids back over here into a home. He wants to buy a house here. And I was like, okay, dude. So at first, he wanted to get a piece of land and a modular home out by Medina Lake, which is a great idea. I love it. Medina Lake is a beautiful place. There's a lot of recreational stuff to do. You're out in the middle of the hill country. It's beautiful. The only issue is that when it comes to the VA loan, they won't let you buy a piece of land and put a modular home on it. And the reason why is because it has to be appraised at once in one entirety. And not just that, but if you buy a piece of land, you have to think about it. You're going to have to get it cleared. And out there, it's all shale, like rock and stuff, because it's like really rocky area. It's just a rocky area. So you got to get it cleared. Then you got to get electricity put in, you got to get water, and you got to get septic. That's going to be the land alone for like a half acre is probably going to be around like $20,000, $30,000. And you're going to add in all the extra expenses for electricity, water, and septic to be added onto the property because they got to run wire all the way across, which isn't cheap. If you've ever ran copper wire through a house, copper wire is pretty expensive. It's going to cost you probably another $30,000, $40,000. So you're looking at like 70 or 80 total after it's all said and done for just a piece of land. You got to add that on top of the house as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can own or finance a piece of land, but you're going to have to buy the house part separate. And it's going to be harder because then they're going to say like, oh, well, he just took out a loan for $70,000 for a piece of land. They're going to tell you no. So the best way to do it is to find a piece of land and a home, add them together into an FHA loan and get it permanently attached. The reason why I say permanently attached on a concrete foundation is because modular homes, they don't appraise as well as a home that's already attached to a permanent foundation. It just doesn't. It's just not the way it works. But he has me look at, so after he realized that wasn't going to work, he was like, dude, he was like, I don't think that the modular home on the piece of land is going to work just yet. And I had told him, I was like, look, dude, I was like, nobody goes out and buys a Ferrari or a Lambo as their first car. Like, unless you win the lottery, okay, cool. But you know what? If you didn't win the lottery, you joined the military, obviously. You're going to be sitting at ground zero. You need to start a building block. Build generational asset or equity. So start small and grow from there. It's a process. It's like bodybuilding. It's the same thing in lifting weights. You don't just overnight become 4% body fat and on stage about to be IFBB pro or whatever, you know, it takes years. So start off small, like get a Toyota Corolla, build up some equity. They have great resale value, by the way. I'm not trying to recommend anybody go
get one.
Here
comes the car salesman. Fucking car salesman right here.
Right? No shit. I'm talking shit about them. But I mean, if you want a car with good resale value, get something with good resale value. Go out, build up your equity with it. And then you can move on. You either choose to sell it and use the extra money you made as a down payment on your new house, or rent it out. Rent out that house. Let somebody else pay the mortgage. Charge them an extra $100, $200 a month. Put that money in aside. In case something breaks on the house, you're going to have to fix it, like the air conditioner. Not cheap. $6,000 right off the bat. Like, it's something that you should think about.
So pretty much from what I'm understanding is it's kind of the VA is a pain in the ass when it comes to pretty much trying to build a home. It's always
no. So building a home isn't a pain. It's if you're going to get a modular home, building a home.
Let's say if they're building a home, because I know the VA has their regulations on how much you get approved for. So let's say a veteran comes in, he gets approved for. Well, because like I said, I don't know how building works. You know what I'm saying? So he's building a home and he's approved for $500,000. He has to stay within that mark, or will the VA kind of say, hey, you know, you can build here, but, you know, we'll go over the price amount, or they just give you, hey, $500,000 is what you need to work with.
So if they tell you you get $500,000 and you pick out a house that's $515,000, you got to come up with the back end cash on your own. They're not going to cover that.
And that's so, including with building too, right?
What do you mean?
Like, how does the building process work? If you're building a house, not doing like the modeling houses, but having a house built.
So depending on how much he's approved for, if he finds a builder, like, I don't know, whatever you want to go for, Perry, Jaffet, David Weekly, KB Homes, Bella Vista, Coventry, there's a million different builders out there. Mm-hmm. Whatever house you're going to go for, if you're approved for a certain amount, the VA will cover that certain amount, but then whatever you have left over, you're going to have to
cover. You have to cover on the back end.
Right. But that's where builders have gotten a little tricky. So builders will offer you all your closing costs paid, and sometimes it'll only take $500 to get into a brand new house if you use their lender. But I mean, if you're a veteran, why not use your VA loan? I would say use it if you can find a house. So like, say, you know, a certain builder is building a house between $280,000 and $320,000 in a certain area of Texas, and you know that you're already pre-approved, not pre-qualified, get pre-approved first, that you're pre-approved for $350,000, go in. Then after the house is built, you know, or whenever it's being built, have somebody appraise it, which the VA will have send somebody out to appraise the house to make sure it appraises at value, and then use your VA loan. And whatever is left over, you don't have to use. It's just there. And there's also jumbo loans for VA. So, I mean, if you're going for like a $2 million house, you can do it. But I mean, you're going to have some financial backing to it too. It's not just like, hey, I'm a veteran, I want a $2 million house. You got to have some money in the bank. Something that might sound a little silly, I didn't know before I got out, but you can use your VA loan while you're active duty. You don't have to wait till you're actually a veteran. Once you're active duty, you can use your VA loan. Go and use it if you really want to.
Once again, same thing. I didn't know that either. Like these are things that when I got out, you know, I've learned as I went, and then I ended up working for a program called Vet to Vet. So now with that, I started learning things as well when it comes to veterans programs, what the VA offers, what the VA can't do and what it can do, you know, and it's things that we don't get told, you know, and I'm like, damn, I could have used my VA home loan years ago, but I had no freaking clue
because I would have done it.
Veterans, yeah, you know. And then the same way where a lot of veterans will go to a bank and say, oh, well, I want to use Navy Federal as to apply for a VA home loan. I realize, why would you do that when you have Veterans United? You know, and they'll give you a better rate than Navy Federal and less of a hassle. You know, definitely. If you go to Navy Federal, like, oh, well, your wife doesn't work. Denied. You know what I'm saying? And your credit score could be 800. And they'll deny you right on the spot because your wife doesn't work.
Typical defender. No.
This is the truth. And then you fucking go to Veterans United, you call them and they're like, what do you mean? You know, you're approved. You know what I'm saying? Your wife doesn't need to work as long as you have the income for it.
Right.
You know, and it's things like that, that once again, I'll touch on this because it's ridiculous, because a lot of veterans will get discouraged. You know, you walk into a bank that you've been with, because a lot of us in the military, we have either USAA or fucking Navy Federal. I have them both. Or I don't know who would fucking do this. I think it's called Fort Steal something. We used to say Fort Steal your money. When you initially first joined, when they have you sign, it was like Fort Steal something. I forgot what
it was. Mine was something totally different. It was like something from California, some janky shit. I don't know
what it was. What I'm saying. And then a lot of the drill instructors were like, oh, change it to Navy Federal, change it to Navy Federal. And when I got out, I did that. You know, and when you with those banks, you're with those banks for years, you're getting car loans, you know, you're getting personal loans, and it's always being approved. But then when you get out and you're going for your home loan, they tell you no. It's like, damn, you know, and you get that, and it's a pain in the ass. Same thing with the VA, too. And the VA is a problem with that, too. They'll deny you for a VA claim, and then now veterans don't want to deal with the bullshit.
Right. Speaking of the loans, I was thinking of requirements for loans. So the requirements, let me talk about that real quick. So generally speaking, everybody knows what a credit score is.
Yep.
But it doesn't go off your TransUnion, your Equifax, or whatever the other one is, but it goes off your FICO score. Okay. So your FICO score is
FICO mortgage, right?
Right. So your FICO score is generally speaking a hell of a lot lower than all your other ones. So don't trust the Credit Karma bullshit. You need to go and get your credit actually checked. Once you do that, you need to make sure that you're having at least at a minimum a 620. I mean, I know that you can get in for a 600, but look, you're going to have extra costs if you're getting in at bottom dollar. Like you're already a risk, like at risk for getting a loan because you don't have enough money or your debt to income. Yeah, basically your debt to income is just shit. So work on reducing your bills. Try to reduce using credit cards. The best thing I can say for credit cards is get one credit card that is with a federal credit union and use it to fill up your gas tank once a month, or buy a Snickers bar. Fuck, I don't know. Just don't use the shit out of it. Keep it like at 5% or below.
They're under 30%.
Yeah. So
that's on that. Yeah.
Keep it below. Okay.
Even below is better because once again, like you said, debt to income ratio.
Right. Exactly. So your DTI is the most important thing that we're going to go over. Okay. You're going to want that to be immaculate, basically. So they don't want you to go over 43% or whatever it is for all of your costs. Let's see here. At least a 620 credit score. Your debt to income has to be good. So more money is coming in, the more money is going out, obviously. That's what that means, your debt to income. Make sure that you have a job for at least 2 years. So either 2 years of 1099s or W-2s with taxes filed. Mm-hmm. If you have a break in that, you're a liability. They don't really want to fund you because, oh, he lost his job. I mean, I know with COVID that just happened, you know, it's still kind of going on. A lot of people got fucked, but I mean, we're dealt the cards that we have. You know, you do what you can. If you need to settle for now, you can wait. There's credit repair programs that lenders sometimes offer for free. Like, hey, like, we'll fix your credit. If you promise to go with us, we'll lend you the money. Cool. I have guys who do that. I actually have people who do that for me right now. Not for me personally, but for my clients.
Yeah.
They have bad credit. They're sitting at like a 540 or something. You know, they're like, literally, he was like, hey, bro, if you pay off these two credit cards, and I think it was like all around like $6,000 that all he needed to pay off, which they've got like $130,000 sitting in the bank. And they had an option to pay 35% down payment in order to get the option to buy a house. But he was like, I don't want to do that. Like, it's just, why? There's no point. I can just wait 3 months, get my credit fixed, and then do it then. So that's what he's going to do. So he's just going to pay off the $6,000 of those credit cards, and his score jumped from like a 609 to a 633 immediately, which put him above that 620 mark. But because he's got cash to play with, he doesn't mind. Him and his wife are both successful. They make good money. Just they're working on enjoying their current lifestyle and doing what they do. More qualifications, I would say. I'm not a home loan officer, so I can't get into too much home loan details.
Yeah.
Because I could lose my license. You know, that's just stuff I'm not supposed to talk about because it's out of my realm. It's not in my wheelhouse. It's not my job. My job is to find houses that fit your budget, the amount of bedrooms, bathrooms. And if you want to pool in the fucking backyard, let's go find one. I know a guy who builds them. Okay.
So, like I said, I know you have like the whole gaps thing, and it has to be a minimum of 2 years. But let's say if they're, I don't know, LAPD or NYPD, or they're in a federal position to where after a year probation, they're pretty much not, well, in this day and age, they get fucking fired for anything. But yeah, you know, let's say they're in a position to where like they're unionized, like pretty much like it's hard to be fired unless they do something reckless, like pretty much like being in the military.
Yeah.
So how would that work? Would that be still considered the same, or would they kind of consider it as like, okay, well, it's a long-term career versus working at fucking McDonald's and you just started?
I mean, anything could be considered a long-term career, but at the same time, I have a guy who just applied for a home loan. He was pre-qualified at about 700K. He's a veteran also. He only wants to use about 400, but he's had his job at Grunstyle for probably less than, I think he's been there less than a year. But because he has his VA compensation at 100% and he's on salary, which is what the San Antonio Police Department is, he's still got approved for a shit ton of money because he's on salary, number one, and number two, he's got his VA benefit. So I think if, don't quote me because I'm not sure, I'll have to find the true answer next time we get on this joint, but I'm pretty sure that if, as long as it's a salary paying job, you're going to be okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because I guess that's one of the biggest things I ask, because, you know, every time, like when we're in the military, you got approved for fucking everything.
Right.
You know, so that was the biggest thing. So majority of the people that got out had shit credit because they were like, oh, guaranteed paycheck, approved. And then next thing you know, you have all this shit. You come out of the military and like, fuck, I'm sitting at like a 559 and I have no idea why. You know, and then you realize you have all this shit that you fucking, you know, bills and loans and all that crap, you know, and it's good to know this stuff because, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of veterans don't know what they are entitled to or the requirements, and they get told something different. You know, it's like playing telephone. You call the VA right now on the phone and you ask them something. They'll say, oh, well, you know, you need a credit of 640. Okay, boom, boom. You get the 640, you talk to somebody else, and now they say, oh, well, you need a credit of 620. You didn't need 640. You know, so it's confusing. You know, it is really not a legitimate, you know, thing unless you talk to somebody that deals with it every day. You know, right. That's why I wanted you on this podcast, because you can explain this and a lot of veterans can listen, you know, because even if it's just Texas, you have everybody else still applying. You know what I'm saying? And that's the goal, whether no matter where it's at, you know, they're like, okay, well, he came on here. He says the FICO score needs to be for the mortgage needs to be at a 620. Okay. You know, but I got to have a legitimate job for 2 years, salary based, you know, things like that. And it's kind of ins and outs, you know, that we all learn about, and as well as the benefits in Texas, you know what I'm saying? So that's Texas does offer a lot, you know. What else do they offer for housing, matter of fact, besides, you know, the zero taxes?
So the VA actually offers so if you're a disabled veteran getting out and say you lost like an eyeball or you're deaf or you're missing an arm or leg, the VA also offers a housing grant. It's like $84,000. So like if you need like handrails put up in your house or some shit, it's free money. So, I mean, if you need it, go get it. I mean, they offer it. If you need like shit, I'm actually going to be getting a free bed here soon from like one of the ones that like curves with your body or whatever. So I can lay down and get out of bed easier. So one of my guys is leaving right now, so I'd say bye. But it's like an $84,000 grant that you can get, and it's for housing improvements. You can build ramps and stuff, put like a jacuzzi in your backyard, like because a jacuzzi is therapeutic, believe it or not. Yes, I want one. One day.
He's like, yes, I bought one.
One day I will have one, sir. But I would say take advantage of it, man. There's other benefits they offer too. I'm just not 100% sure about what they do, but as far as the housing goes, they do offer that, which is really good to take advantage of, because I know that some dudes are with shit going on in Ukraine right now. I don't know who all's going. I mean, I leased an apartment to a Marine the other day or last month in March. On the 7th, and I call him on the 7th. I was like, hey, bro. I was like, so you're moving in today, right? He was like, no, dude. And I was like, why? He said, I actually volunteer to go to Ukraine. I'm leaving in like 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, good deal. Right. Sounds good. I was like, peace, man. I'll see you later, dude. Like, God bless your soul, but I ain't with it. I'm not going. Not for me, bro.
But he, listen, so being that he was, now he's had signed the lease, right, to move in?
No. So, well, okay, so actually, I think I know what you're getting at.
Yes, you see?
Okay, so I actually could have scapegoated this, or I don't know, scapegoat, whatever. I could have kind of cheesed the system, you know. So say he did sign the lease and he did accept his keys. All he has to do is get that fucking paper that says, hey, I'm going on orders to another country. I'm leaving. And I still would have gotten paid for it. And he could have broken his lease for free.
Okay. See, I had to bring that up. I had to throw that in there. Because, dude, that happens a lot. Fucking lease breaking every time. New orders. Dude, all that
shit. All the time.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to touch on that one. So, you know, so as for those benefits, how many veterans, just an estimate that you've worked with and helped throughout the year?
With how many veterans have I helped this year?
Yeah.
So let's see here. I've got one, two, three, only three veterans so far. No. Five. So I've helped two from Satmar. I've helped one from California, one from Grunt Style, and actually three from Satmar. So it's really just my sphere of influence. So those guys I all know personally, they just reached out. Like I think I posted something online. It was like, hey, like if you've ever thought about like upgrading or downsizing your house for whatever reason, like now is the best time to sell. Because honestly, it is a good time to sell.
It's and then a seller's at the same market. Time,
Absolutely, it's a seller's market. Fuck yeah, it's a seller's market. Yeah, people are offering $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 over asking price and still getting outbid by somebody else who's offering $80,000 or $90,000. Like, it's fucking insane. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I love it because it's more money in everybody's pocket. But at the same time, like, holy shit. But, I mean, these guys that are hitting me up, they're either wanting to upsize or downsize. And it's a good time because they sell their house. They get a little bit of extra pocket change. They made equity on their home. They put a down payment on a brand new house at the same price and they have a cheaper mortgage. So, I mean, it's like, why not? You know, why not?
Fuck it. Why not? Right. Shit. Cause like I look at that and it's, that's why I asked, because I want to know how many veterans you worked with. Because usually, you know, once again, you know, you're in the great state of Texas. It's I'm gonna be honest with you, it's best fucking state out there. And then you got Florida, you know, but then everybody from fucking New York wants to go to Florida. So why would I want to go to Florida to go to that bullshit when I just go to Texas?
I don't know about Florida, man. Have you seen those memes? Google your birthday and Florida man. There's always some crazy shit, dude. Yes. Always.
You know, so I asked that because I'm kind of curious on what is the ratio of veterans living there or moving there, you know, because if I was to ask a realtor in fucking New York, how many veterans you dealt with, I'll probably get maybe zero.
So as far as houses go, I've only helped out six dudes personally that I know. As far as other veterans go, I've helped out countless veterans rent apartments. I mean, I really don't know how many I've helped. There's because they're all coming here for the Air Force because we have Lackland, we have Randolph, we have Fort Sam. I mean, it's military city. It's literally when you drive into San Antonio, it says, welcome to Military City, USA. That's what San Antonio is called, is military city. Like it's the most veteran friendly city, but probably because the populace here is mostly veterans or the highest populace. But I mean, I've helped countless veterans get apartments. I mean, it's not easy. I just wish more of them would reach out sooner because it's a little bit of a difficult process sometimes. Like it's, the reason why is because you have to waste all this time driving around where you're going. You have to waste all, right now, gas prices are astronomical. So, I mean, you got to waste all this money driving to these different places, getting there and be like, hey, yo, what you got? Nothing. Sorry. You got to get turned around and go back. Because like I said, you have an influx of all these people from the East Coast and West Coast all coming to Texas. So everybody's trying to find a spot to live while their houses are being built or just a place to settle until a year from then when they can go buy a house. So reach out to an apartment locator, reach out to a realtor, ask them like, hey, they're not legally allowed to tell you what's the nice part of town because it's against fair housing laws. But at the same time, they can kind of point you in the right direction. Like, I'd stay over here in this area, you know? I mean, we can...
Well, they can act, you know, say, well, the best school district is over here, you know?
Exactly.
You know, right. So there's ways you got to word everything, you know, which is understandable, you know, because you don't want to be liable and you don't want to discredit another location. Right. And you don't want to get in trouble either, you know, but... Hey, you're on here. You know, you're telling people to talk to other realtors when they shouldn't be talking to other realtors. They should be talking to you.
I mean, I get it. But you know what? My personality isn't everybody's cup of tea. I'm really upbeat. I'm real high energy. I've actually gotten some slack for it from other people who are like, dude, like, why are you always so up? I'm like, I don't know. I'm full of good vibes, good energy. Like, I'm just a hoot to have around.
That's what you're telling me. Like, why? You want me to be fucking miserable?
No shit, right? People are like, I'm living the dream. It's like, you know, nightmares are dreams too, right? Anyways, no, like my in-laws, well, they're not my in-laws yet, but they will be one day. They tell me, they're like, dude, they talk about me, like, he's probably the biggest pussy you're ever going to meet, but he could rip your fucking arms off. Like, yeah, probably. I mean, I'm a softie. I'm not an asshole by any means.
Well, but me personally, you know, to actually sit down and talk to a realtor, I would love that energy. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to talk to somebody that's be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to sell you this. It's going to have this. I want somebody to fucking be energetic, because if they're energetic, I feel energetic as well. And then I'm like, oh, shit, this dude fucking... Making like a fucking a 1500 square foot house seem like a fucking mansion when you walk in. And it's like, dude, damn, he's selling me this. You know what I mean? So and that's good. You know, like, I get people say, oh, well, you know why you like that. Listen, that's, to me, when it comes to this environment, that's fucking awesome.
Because, dude, I get people excited, man. I really do.
Yeah, you see?
I've only been told why are you like this a couple of times, but still, it just surprised me that people even ask me. It's like, how am I supposed to be? You expect me to be like just some fucking bump on a log? Like, no, like, I'm this guy. But the best part about it is I don't have to act this way. Like, this just is me. I am guy all the time. It's, I don't know. Maybe it's because of the position in life that I'm in right now. Like, I'm not super into fucking zodiac signs and read my astronomical fucking symbols and stars or whatever. But I mean, I read some shit that and I was like, you got good things coming. You know what? I decided to believe that shit. I put it in my head. I let it in my headspace. I said, hey, good shit's coming. And honestly, though, I can't say that I've been in a better time in my life. I got a baby on the way in about 3 months. I've made more money in my life in real estate than I've ever made anywhere else, including the oil field. And the oil field was great to me. I made a lot of fucking money. I did a lot of fucking cool shit. I mean, I went and bought a brand new car just because I could. I went to Ireland on a trip. I went, sat floor seats at a Spurs game. Like, I mean, shit was badass, dude. But this is definitely the place to be. I mean, this is uncomparable. It doesn't even feel like work.
This is your calling, you know? So
I honestly feel like it is.
Helping people.
Dude, I really, you're 100% right. I feel like this is my calling because I connect with people so well. I can put myself on an emotional level with people. Like, I watch a movie that's sad. Like, oh, don't get me started about Spider-Man. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the new Spider-Man, bro, I fucking cried when Andrew Garfield caught fucking Gwen. Oh my God. I was like, redemption, yes. Oh, God.
That was epic, bro. That was epic, man.
Good-ass part of that movie.
Yeah. But that's great, man. Like, honestly, obviously, you have a lot of great things going for you, you know, career-wise, family-wise, you know what I'm saying? And that's outstanding. And, you know, like, me personally, I would recommend, like, anybody going to Texas, I'd recommend you. You know what I'm saying?
I recommend me too.
Because to be honest with you, and not just to say, not to say that because I know you personally, is because your vibe. You know what I'm saying? I don't want nobody to go out there and be like, man, this fucking realtor is miserable. You know, because like I said, I don't want to go somewhere where they're selling me something and I feel depressed about them selling me something that I'm excited to do. You know what I'm saying? If this person that I'm talking to has amazing vibes, positivity, energetic, and I know he loves being there, then why not invest my money into that property? You know what I'm saying? And work with this realtor. That's just the reality of it. Like I said, I'm being honest with you. I don't want no fucking mopey dude telling me shit. Have you ever seen, what's the name of that fucking movie? Oh my God. It's with the different feelings. My daughter watches it.
In and Out.
But you see? But
Inside
you
see, Out.
Inside Out. Yeah, Inside Out. So
when In and Out's that movie, trashy burger place.
So when you see the emotions, you have sadness, you have anger, you have fucking fear. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have the different emotions. Like, come on, you don't want to be the blue one. What is it called? Sadness. No. You know, it's like fucking mopey all the time and fucking miserable. You know, you want something exciting, like fucking ready to go. You know, that's all what it reminds me of, brother. You know?
All the time. Look,
are you still doing the modeling career, actually?
Or are you when was it? I want to say...
I saw you on the Christmas one, I believe. I got an email.
So get this, actually. Josh Lejeune, yes, like Camp Lejeune. His great-great-great-grandson just texted me 9 minutes ago. I'm going to go play Dungeons & Dragons with this guy tonight. So that's what we're going to do. I lost my train of thought. Wait, say that one more time.
Are you still doing the modeling? Why are you doing
Yes, it? I am still doing the modeling. So I actually did a Silkies photo shoot probably 3 weeks ago. I just did a new one of their new button-up Death Flower shirts about 2 weeks ago. Before that, I did the olive drab and the camo joggers. I did some new like sweatpants shorts at a pool shoot for like a summertime thing. I did Till Death Do Us Part something. It was more like for Cinco de Mayo, but it's a quarter two shirt. It's not even out yet. I did that. That was actually a couple shoot
ready.
Yeah, I've got the shirt. My girl has a shirt. So it was a couple shoot, and it was like Till Death Do Us Part. Okay. It was a fucking. It's a badass shirt, dude. It's cool as hell.
I have to ask this because I am part of the Grunt Style Club.
Okay.
So is it gonna be on the club or is it gonna be like?
It's retail side. It's not retail, club side.
Okay.
Yeah, but okay. You guys get club stuff, like the club stuff. You guys get exclusive stuff that nobody else gets, which is really nice. It's like $20 a month or something, but you guys get one of a kind t-shirts that nobody else can get. I don't know what else you guys can get, maybe hats or cups or something.
I know we get, the only thing I've gotten, I've been there on Club Grunt Style for a while. I say probably it was t-shirts and like a sticker.
Okay.
Which I don't mind. So, I put them on my Yeti.
And I actually did I also did a club Grunt Style shoot a couple days before the Silky one. And that was for Lucky and Loaded. It was like a green, it's out on Grunt Style right now. It's like a green one. It says Lucky and Loaded. It's a St. Patrick's
Day shirt. It's a leprechaun on it.
Yeah. Yes, I have that one. So I did one for that one out there. We also did the new the red solo cup, but it's a green solo cup. It's steel, okay. Not a solo cup. We did the shoot for those out there at this property. Red ones, black ones, and green ones. Shit. So there was one where we had me and this other guy named Dan. We did some with the Lucky and Lotus shirts. We just had we brought our personal pistols with us, and we're doing gun drills with them, kind of. Obviously it was all safe. We presented it the right way. We had eye pro, ear pro. We didn't have any rounds in the guns. They were unloaded. They were checked by everybody else. So, you know, basic stuff from the military, your RSO, your range safety officer, you're taking care of us. Like he was there or whoever it was, like, hey, we need to make sure all the guns are unloaded and, you know, show us, make sure. Okay, cool. Separate the ammo, put them in a truck and lock them away. And everything was kosher. Everything was good.
That's good. That's good. Damn, I'm about to start talking to you about the exclusive shirts that are about to come out. Hey. Look, I'm actually wearing one of them right now. I think this
is, I know, I saw that.
I think the Body Stackers one. The yep. Union, yeah, dude, listen, I love their shirts, man. I've have like tons of them, man. Like my wife always tells me, she's like, why you have all these shirts? You know, you have too many t-shirts. You need to do this. I'm like, come on. You know, like, really?
you can make this excuse now. So they might have too many t-shirts, but Grunt Style has some nice polos out now. So they got really good They have some nice polo shirts, you know, just the two or three buttons right here at the top.
Okay.
And they have some full button-up shirts that are really nice, which is the Deathflower one that I did.
Now, I seen that. Is that the, like, it's kind of like pinkish and grayish, that one? You say the Deathflower one, right?
It's, so yes and no. So that's a new one that just came out also. That's a polo one, and that's also the Deathflower, but the other one has, like, AKs and Deathflowers on it, and it's all black and gray.
How's the material on the button-downs?
Oh, dude, they're thick. They'll make you sweat. It's like 100% cotton or whatever, but it's
well,
like
I have one of their long sleeve flannels. You know what I'm saying? I have one of those.
Oh, pretty good. Oh yeah, I modeled those too.
Yeah, I know. I think that was one of the ones that I got the email for.
Yeah, I was all over the main page with that one. Either the white, gray, and black plaid, and then the buffalo plaid, which is the red and black.
Yeah, that's the one that I got. Those. Yeah.
And then there's been a bunch of shit I did. Like, I was Frosty the Snowman. I was fucking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I was wearing a onesie in, like, summer heat and sweating my ass off, playing with flamethrowers, shooting tanks and shit. Like, it was bad, dude. It was cool. It was a good-ass time.
That's good stuff, man. You know, look, it's not many people get an opportunity to do that, you know, and it's fucking awesome. You know, that you get out there and you do all this stuff, especially, like I said, you're involved in the community too, because you're a realtor, you know, so it kind of coincides too, because not only do they see you on the website or let's say on a Facebook pop-up, but they also see you within the community. I'm pretty sure you probably had a couple people like, I've seen this guy before.
I have. So yeah, actually the CEO of Grunt Style, when I was there at this place called The Pearl in downtown San Antonio, last week sometime, I was down there with my daughter and my girl, and we're just out there because it was a beautiful day. It was like 80 degrees. Hey, Mr. Lejeune, what's up, buddy? Hey, I'm actually on a veterans podcast right now. Can I give you a call back when I'm done? I saw you said 6:45 your house. Sounds good, but I'll be there. All right, bye. sorry.
No, I'll take that call real quick. This podcast is supposed to be real, brother. You know what I'm saying?
It's definitely fucking real. shit, I lost my train of thought, though.
You were talking about when you was at a pub or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I was downtown at the Pearl. It's called the Pearl Brewery. So, yeah, it's like a pub, basically, but it's like a little shopping area. They've got, like, all kinds of restaurants around, whatever you want. Like, they have ramen, the tacos.
Dude, I'm going to have to fly out there and visit you, man.
Dude, actually, do you remember Edward Falcon?
Falcon.
He was in
glasses.
No glasses. Hold on, give me a second. Let me show you real quick. Let me show you this about Edward. Oh, this is my other profile. There it is. He's coming down on the 11th. So
he living in California.
Yeah.
Works at a GameStop?
Yeah.
Dude, that's fine. Yeah, I know, dude. He glasses, man.
He wears glasses. He always wears contacts now.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I remember him when he wore glasses, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's him. That's him. He's actually coming down on the 11th, which I think is Monday, right? He's going to be – let me check real quick. I hope Monday is the 11th.
Shit.
Yeah, so he's coming down on the 11th, and he'll be here till the 14th. He's going to be staying at my house for 4 days. We're going to go just – bullshit and hang out, do whatever. And then shit, this past summer I went out to California and I went to go visit him, but I mean, it was like kind of in passerby though. I went to Nevada first to party in Vegas for a couple of days, you know, do my thing. And then I went to Utah and I went to Zion Park and I went hiking in Zion Park. That shit was beautiful, by the way. Angel's Landing is amazing. Then we went back to Nevada and we hung out in Vegas for a couple more days and just spent some time there, you know, gamble a little bit, drink a little bit. Then went to Cali, went to like Yosemite National Forest, went to Hermosa Beach, went to the Redwood National Forest, Sequoia National Forest. And we went with Edward. We went with Falcon and his girl at the time. And we had a blast, dude. We got to enjoy the beach, drink beer, because Cindy wasn't pregnant yet. Now she is. It was a good-ass time. And he was like, dude, I can't wait to come and see you. And I was like, bro, schedule this shit. Let's do it. So now he's on his way down here to come see me. He'll be here on Monday.
Shit, nice, shit, dude. Man, nice. You know that. See, not many of us keep in contact, dude.
It's hard.
You know,
it's real hard, man.
I would say, and it's funny because when I was getting out, one of the corpsmen that I knew. And it was funny because remember I got fapped out to the tax center?
Yeah.
Because they didn't want me in 3-7 no more. So they got rid of me for a little bit until they got back and they found out I was over there. I was like, nope, send them back. But so I bumped into him and I think he was from 3-4. I can't remember what. Who? Oh my God. Who was the battalion that was next to us on the other side? Was that?
It was Dark Horse, 3-4.
Yeah. So he was one of the docs there and I helped him out at the legal center, whatever. And fucking great guy. And the next thing you know, I had his number, but then I lost his number because I got a new phone, lost contact. And I'm actually going to have him on the podcast soon to talk about his stuff because he's actually doing like a medical trauma course that he does.
Hell yeah.
Business in that. And next thing you know, one day I see my Instagram, Crowley, and I'm like looking at my phone. I'm like, no fucking way. And I'm looking at the pictures. I'm like, oh shit, the dude found me on fucking Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
I added him, and I was like, dude, I was like, it's great, you know, but that's rare that a lot of us keep in contact. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
Like, I don't know if you remember Kalsaf.
No, I don't remember him. I don't think I even met him. That name didn't even sound familiar.
I keep in contact with him once in a blue. You remember Sanchez?
Which one?
Rigo Sanchez, the weird one.
Rigo? I remember Rigo. I don't remember his last name being Sanchez, but Rigo, I remember. Rigo, that name just stands out to me.
Yeah, him. I keep in contact. Well, I haven't spoke to him in a long time. I know he left California with his wife, and he moved down to Texas, and he's a teacher out there.
Okay.
In Texas. But, dude, everybody's fucking going to Texas, man. I'm, like, the only one that everybody's like, dude, come to Texas. Come to Texas. Bro,
Texas is great, dude. I love it here.
Dude, trust me. I would love to go. It's just right now my career is kind of holding me onto the East Coast until
you are where you're supposed to be, man. If you're being successful and you're doing everything you're supposed to, then you stay right where you're at and be successful. Dude,
and that's what I'm doing, man. And that's why I'm like, at this point, I was like, eventually, you know, if I make lieutenant or whatever, then I'll put in a transfer to that side to kind of say, you know what, I'm fucking chucking the deuces. I'm going to retire in a couple of years. And I'm going to sit on my ass. And Texas is where it needs to be.
It definitely is. It's definitely a good place to be for veterans. It really is.
Yeah, dude, Texas is a great state.
I love it.
Yeah, you know.
I'm still here.
And you got people from fucking California going there too.
Oh God. Hey, you know what? If you're from California and you're coming here, leave your fucking politics. If you don't think the same way as most of Texas, leave that shit over there. Because you're going to end up, the reason why you left there was all your fucking taxes. Don't bring that shit over here. We don't want to hear. So don't impose your fucking stupid ass shit over here. Otherwise, it's going to be another fucking California. And I don't want that shit. California sucks. Fuck that place. Sorry, Edward, if you see this, I'm sorry, but California fucking sucks. That's why you want to move here too. Hey, he does, though. He's like, fuck this.
Oh, man. All right, everyone. This is the conclusion of the Veterans Talk podcast. Once again, I appreciate my buddy Darren being on here. He's pretty much gave us a bunch of knowledge. We had some in-between conversations that got all sidetracked, but this is what this is about, you know, and spreading awareness as well as knowledge. You know, once again, thank you, Darren, for being on here.
Love it.
You know, and we are going to have probably another podcast channel together. There'll probably be some random shit we talk about. So everybody,
we should talk about some random shit, but I think we should talk about the med board process before veterans get out too.
Yes. Yes. You know, that's a very good one. So we'll definitely set that one up, but we could talk about that because obviously me and you have knowledge of that because we have been through the med board process. You know what I'm saying? So that would be perfect to go over. All right, everyone, stay motivated. Deuces.